This is Warn Radio, Remnant Battle Lines for the End Time Christian Believer. Greetings, this is the Watchman, Dana Smith. This show is part headline news, prophecy, biblical commentary, guest interviews, and special presentations. Join us today as we enter into the lines of the remnant and the battle before us. This is the end of days. Darkness is all around, but victory is assured in Jesus Christ, and we are the remnant. And through faith in the promises and a God who will not fail, we shall overcome. This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings, glad you made it.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, Yom Kippur 2017, Part 2. Azazel. The Azazel goat represents that one which had brought men into sin, and here we find the judgment of that goat and what he represents. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 29th day of September 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are for Day of Atonement, and they're found in Leviticus chapter 16, starting at verse 1 and 2, and then verses 29 through 34, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32, John chapter 11, verses 49 through 52, Hebrews chapter 13, 10 through 14, verses 10 through 14, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through chapter 10, verse 25. Check out the recommended reading on our sites by going to warn-usa.com. and DanaGlennSmith.com. The Twilight of the Dawning. American Twilight, the Dawning, the Trouble, and That Which Comes. Collision Course. Damn the Torpedoes, Full Steam Ahead. In reality, there is perhaps no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. Disguise it, struggle with it, stifle it, mortify it as much as one pleases. It is still alive and will every now and then peep out and show itself. You will see it, perhaps often in this history. For even if I could conceive that I had completely overcome it, I should probably be proud of my humility. Joseph Addison. There is no passion that steals into the heart more imperceptibly and covers itself under more disguises than pride. Benjamin Franklin. Also, check out 7 Biblical Imperatives Christians Are to Know. Recommended reading plus other exciting news from the WARN-USA, the WIBR WARN websites and ministries. In the world, not of the world. Christian admonition to follow. 7 biblical imperatives and what you need to know. Many Christians have a Bible, a church, and an idea of what to expect. Read more of this post at The Twilight of the Dawning by going to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Also check out Trumpets 2017 and the High Holy Days. Find us on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, BMO, Blog Talk, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR WARN radio events, shows, and more. To follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WARN Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. We made it.
Yes, barely. I mean, we're a little late.
A little late tonight. We've been having weather for a couple of weeks. Of course, we had a great summer, and then we got cold weather. A lot of snow up in the mountains, and around here we're got a lot of moisture. And growing up around here, I've never, I don't remember so much rain, but
not in the fall. By now, when I was growing up, we had snow, lots of snow by now.
Yeah, it was always the snow, and you had your sled, and it was snow, not rain. Now we're doing rain, and of course it's going to be, it gets chilly at night, but to make a long story short, last night we did the show and we got off, and I all the shows have a high def video, and these videos are uploaded to Vimeo. And because we do a three-hour show, 3 hours of high-def video takes a long, long, long time to upload. We do them in 3 one-hour segments. And, to make a long story short again, we had trouble on the Internet last night, as we do off and on when it gets a lot of moisture. And so we had a dickens of a time, and it tied up our system all day, all last night, all day. And the reason it did, they'd kick off all the time. And finally, I was able to get them the final time this afternoon, actually about noon. And, they just got finished a while ago. And I didn't. It's just the way it is. But at any rate, we got them uploaded, and so last night's show is on Vimeo, and we haven't got the other one published over on our website yet. We've got the audio over there, and that hasn't been published yet, and we probably won't get to it till about Sunday, because tonight is Yom Kippur. We're going to be busy all day tomorrow anyway, and so we've got a lot of things happening around here. We're glad you joined us. And, tonight, I also want to remind you to go to GetHealthyYoungLiving.com. That's GetHealthyYoungLiving.com. GetHealthyYoungLiving.com. It's one of our new websites. And we're also over on Facebook at Healthy Young Living. And we are also on Twitter. It's at, what is that? At Irish something.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, we're on Twitter, too. It's a brand new account. We've had it for a few days. I got them all up this week. At Irish something. But it's over there. And, at any rate, what else is going on today? Just a lot of news going in and out. And I was busy working with stuff out of the garden today. And, of course, we, you know, besides the stuff online. But, you know, I'm thinking about everything that's been going on this month. There's just tons of stuff. But yet, the biggest news is, you know, we've heard for months now, this is going to be the seventh year, September. And every 7 years, the stock market faces a correction. Well, this year, it didn't face a correction. Actually, it did better than it, I think it's ever done. Or at least in a long, long, long time. And I didn't read all the details of it, but they closed out the day, and there was no Black Friday in September. And, you know, I'm, at least as of Friday, and, you know, so we've got the first on Sunday, so, the stock market is out of that correction mode, and that kind of broke up their thing. Of course, they've had a lot of people. They had a lot of millionaires betting against it. I've talked about that. A number of millionaires were doing it, and people were saying how this thing's going down. Other people were expecting, the rapture. We got some emails. Friends of ours, too. We know them. And I don't have any problem with it. You know, if that's what they want to believe, that's fine. You know, it's just not time yet. And that's all there is to it. And what they're going to find out is when this thing gets really sticky, they're still going to be here for a while. And, you know, but hey, you know, if the Lord comes and takes us all in the rapture, I am for that.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, I got another acquaintance, someone I know fairly well.
Really?
Yeah, as hard as it is to believe, he's a Messianic Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into too much detail. But he said, if I go in there, you know, if there is a rapture, and everybody goes, the Lord can leave me here because I want to help Israel.
Yeah.
So, Corey Ten Boom talked about that, and she just flat put it this way, saying that, you mean you believe that the Lord is going to take the church out at the time when the world desperately needs the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, that was her take of it. Of course, she went to, what is it, Dachau? Is that where she was? Well, at any rate, she lost all of her family. She made it out alive. Her sister died with her in Hitler's camp, but she was released. And she says there is no pit that is so deep that God is not deeper still. I have a lot of respect for Corrie Ten Boom because of what she went through. And, she was a Christian. She wasn't worrying about the Jew, but her papa and mama wanted to help the Jews out, and so they hid them and smuggled them out, and that's how they got caught, because someone ratted them out. You know the story very well. But thank God, that's the way it is, you know. The Lord puts us on the front lines, and we have to be willing to lose our life.
That's right.
It's just all there is to it. And he that saves his life will lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find life. So at any rate, we got a lot of that out of the way now. So now we're going to be into Tabernacles, which I finished up last night in our teaching. And so we're going to be busting down the road to Tabernacles, and then our fall feasts are going to be over. Then we're going to be heading into, some of the other holidays. Immediately following these fall feasts, of course, is Halloween. And I've got to teach on that. And I've been teaching on Halloween for a lot of years. I have made a few people mad. But really, the people that like Halloween, they really don't spend a lot of time listening to me, so I don't worry about it. Years ago, we had a YouTube account, different than the one now. Our one now is called Visions, and I don't put anything on it. The only thing that goes on it is the Spreaker stuff, and, you know, they're the ones that publish on it, and I don't have anything to do with it. It just goes up, and that's it's there. And so at any rate, back then, I was doing the Halloween thing, and that's when that young kid wrote me and contacted me and just rode me up one side and down another. And I wrote him back and told him, you know, exactly what scripture was. And he wrote me back, and he was all upset and bothered still. And finally, the last word he gave me was, you know, I'm a Christian. But he says, I serve Satan too. And, you know, that's, you know, when we see him in the hereafter, we'll have to ask him how it worked out for him. It's not going to work out, folks. You know, that's the devil and the flesh, okay? If you think God is going to share a throne with the devil, you're mistaken. Now, the devil might think that, but the devil, he's a liar, and he's the father of lies, and all of his minions are liars, and they can appear as an angel of light. So go figure. They come, they appear as an angel, they can impress the flesh of humans, they can deceive them, you know, and you might think that they're God, but they're not. They're liars, they're thieves, and you don't trust them, period.
Yeah, that's right.
So at any rate, I think I'm going to go ahead and get going on this, Tower.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Okay, tonight we are in Yom Kippur, and last week we left off in Leviticus 16:30, pointing out that Yeshua became the priest that made the sacrifice for it. Now see, on Passover, he is the Passover lamb. On Yom Kippur, he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But on Leviticus 16:30, for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office, is in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. Now see, Christ is that high priest. However, he also is the atoning sacrifice. Now, we're going to be getting into the scapegoat. And the scapegoat, it's in Leviticus 16. And it goes through 34. And what I gave you was a few verses concerning the priest and stuff. Okay, Leviticus 16. And the Lord spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, Leviticus 10, 1 through 5, when they offered before the Lord and died. Now, in regards to this, and this is the first verse, the death of Aaron's son was a punishment for willfully drawing near before Jehovah. And it was to give Aaron a solemn warning. And you're not to come at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat upon the ark. You weren't supposed to do that. You came in there once a year. And even that, there was bells on the head priest, you know, on the priest garment, and he had a rope tied around, something tied around his ankle, because when they ceased to hear the jingling of the bells, they knew he had died before the Lord, so then they would pull him out. Now see, the difference today is you and I can enter in to the veil all the time. We can come boldly before the throne of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the difference between the covenants of the old and the new. And so you can read about that in Exodus 25:10. and you know, the priest, the high priest, is only supposed to come at the time to be appointed by Jehovah for the purposes instituted by him only once a year, which it says that in Leviticus 16:29. And in Exodus also, it says, "For I will appear in the cloud above the Kapparoth," which is the mercy seat, the cloud in which Jehovah appeared above the mercy seat between the cherubim. And between the cherubim and the cloud of the incense, which with which Aaron was to cover the Kapparoth on entering. And so when he would go in there, of course, you would have that that cloud of incense, and it would, of course, the cloud of incense welcomes in the glory of God, but he sits, you know, he hovers, his spirit is right over that mercy seat. And of course, for us, the mercy seat began when God gave us mercy in the first place and sent his only begotten Son. And so we call that today grace, God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. But it requires faith. Faith is that law of faith which we are required to have, because you can't come to the Lord if you don't believe he's there. So you have to have faith to believe in order to do all this. But the mercy seat now, because of Christ, we can access that all the time. And we can come before the Lord God in the name of the Lord. And so back then they couldn't do that. And of course, you know, the cloud, you know, would descend. And that was the divine glory. And it would be out of that cloud that the Lord God would manifest himself and would speak. And and so, you know, when it talks about the two sons, you know, they weren't supposed to come. Now, in verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram offering for a burnt offering." Now see, just those two things. Now see, we take this really, really, you know, today as Christians, well, it's just like second nature. You know, we have all kinds of churches. We have all kinds of people that teach. We have, you know, all kinds of Bibles. And you know, we don't fully appreciate the holiness of God or the warning that God gave to Moses to give to Aaron. You know, don't come any time. Don't come any time, because you're going to die. See, and if you were in the church, and if this was still going on, you'd have a lot of people dying. You know, or if you have, like, remember Peter and Ananias and Sapphira, they both died. I mean, how do you explain that to the police here, you know, in your church? Well, you know, they lied to God and they just died on the spot. Well, they would find something to charge the priest with, I can guarantee you, or the preacher. They'd throw somebody in jail. "And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh." Now, of course, linen is a special material in all of itself. Matter of fact, it has properties in it that actually has, you know, it corresponds with your body. And it linen is known to help. And do your research on linen. And you're going to find out if you get into the real truth, you know, into linen. Linen is one of those things. And so, of course, you can't have a cross nature here. It has to be all linen. And, of course, all of this, you know, reveals the holiness of God. All this reveals the fact that, you know, you can't just wear whatever you want to into the presence of God. And they were to be covered. They weren't to be stark butt naked. You know, and I remember that nutty preacher that had a nudist church. You know, dear God in heaven. I mean, and they do this because they're lawless. They're Gentiles. And yeah, oh yeah, he's a Christian and he can do that. No, he can't. God's holiness has never changed. That's not okay in the eyes of the Lord. And so we do a lot of dumb things as Gentiles and Christians in the church. And so you might think, well, why do we cover Yom Kippur? Because when we cover this, you learn stuff. You have to learn why we have these feasts. And these are not Jewish feasts. These are Lord. Now, in this case, Yom Kippur is not a feast. It's a fast. It's the opposite. And it's not only that. It's an important time. And so for the children of Israel, it was on Yom Kippur that, you know, they made that sacrifice for the people. For the priest, the high priest had to do it for himself. Then he did it for all of his other priests and et cetera. And then they would perform and take care of the things with the children of Israel. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, with the linen mitre. Shall he be attired? These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And when we talk about Azazel, it's considered, Azazel is considered to be an actual or considered as a personal being. So when you look at the name Azazel, they call the goat Azazel. The desert that he releases it, of course, is remote. And there's, you know, a lot of types here when you see this, but let's keep going. Azazel is a word that really slaps your face. It's an intense word. So you have 1 goat for Jehovah, 1 for Azazel, meaning it is not a place, but a personal being. And the two compared, that is, 1 good Jehovah and the other bad and desolate. That's Azazel. And in Jewish writings in the book of Enoch, we find an evil spirit who is the head of the spirit and the fallen angels, and that's who Azazel was. And when we call this Azazel, though, it really shows the devil himself. I mean, when we look at the types here, you know, 1 for Jehovah and the other for Azazel, or the devil himself. So this is the type. You know, you either serve God or you serve the devil. That's just about the way it is. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make him make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Burning incense represents this prayer. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Kind of a covering and prayers. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and for the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. It's interesting that when you got these types, now take the blood of the bullock. Now see, God had determined that with the blood. Blood has life in it, and God was going to make atonement with the blood. But the blood of bulls and goats do not permanently atone for the sins of men. They had to do this every year. Yahshua, with his own blood, being the Son of God, was perfect, and therefore he was offered up once and for all. The mercy seat here, of course, is where the blood has to be sprinkled. And you will find that that the Lord, he did appear before, in heaven before the Lord, before our God and our Father. He was on the throne. You find this in Revelation. And so he would have, and he even mentioned this to Mary when they tried to touch him. He said, "I've not ascended to my Father. Don't touch me." And then later on, when he appears to Philip and all the other disciples, Thomas was there. He told Thomas to insert his finger in his side and don't be unbelieving, but believe. And so in between those times, he had already ascended, because then they could touch him. So we know that when he got out of there and he was just moving around, he had to give a message to Mary, but she wasn't to touch him. And, when you think about it, why couldn't she touch him? Was it symbolic? Was it because of sin? You know, the scripture does not say, but we know that she couldn't touch him there because he hadn't ascended to his Father. And there was certain things that had to be accomplished. So he was really probably on his way to meet with his Father. And that's what we see in the Revelation part. And so when we get back to the atonement, there's so much type here. There is so much we see. And, of course, the mercy seat has to have the blood. And God has given us mercy, but that mercy is only good if Yahshua goes to the cross, and that's the blood of the atonement. And that atonement, actually for us Christians, the atonement and the mercy seat are the cross on which Christ died. But in heaven, he had to go up and appear before the Father, and he had to open up the seals, and he had to do what no other man could do. And, of course, that's what he did. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So we have a double sprinkling of blood. The first sprinkling for the Lord, it was performed only once for the expiation of sins of the high priest, his house, and then of the congregation of Israel upon or against the mercy seat. So that's the covering before the children of Israel, from the high priest down to the people. That covers that, that makes that atonement. That brings them into a relationship with God, not like we have today, but into a workable relationship where they could do this. Now see, the law itself, just keeping the law, you know, do this, do that, you know, that's not the saving part. The atoning part had to be done through the sacrifices, and it could only be done with the blood. That's the only time you can get the atonement, is using blood. Only time. And that's a matter of life and death, folks. The second was for the expiation of the sanctuary from the sins of the people, which were then in front of the mercy seat. It was done seven times. Done to cleanse the holy place itself from the sins of the people so it would not be defiled. Of course, in heaven and in all these things, you have to have, and we see this in the ritual, through the Torah, that there is that perfection that you have to go to, that Moses was admonished. He was told, make sure you make everything just as it was shown you in the mount. Everything had to be done exact. Now see, for you and me today, under the covenant through Christ, He died on the cross. And see, a lot of this was fulfilled and done away with because everything had been permanently erased and it was put on a new footing. Now, see, God quite candidly says in the Tanakh and in the Torah that, you know, he's not going to be angry forever. He was going to do a new work, and that new work is Christ coming, dying on the cross. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Now, you see, the thing that I think of when I read this, of course, that has to be done because of the sin. See, and this illustrates the sin part. Now, see, we're not like that today in the church because of Christ. Yet, see, Peter said judgment will first begin at the house of God. That if we who are saved barely survive, then where will the sinners and the ungodly stand? Now, see, the problem that we have as Christians in the world today, I do not believe, I'm convinced that we don't understand the holiness of God, the judgment of God, and we don't fully understand, you know, even why some of the Jews are the way they are today when it comes to this stuff. But as tough as this is, Israel got into the point where they were serving other gods as well, and even their priests and prophets were doing what they were supposed to do for Jehovah, then they would go out and do double duty for another god. And of course, they got in trouble, a lot of trouble for it. And so it's hard to imagine that they would ever get to that point. But see, here we're dealing with sin. We're dealing with not only the sin of the people so they could approach God, but those sins have to go somewhere. And those sins have to go under the blood that's being shed. And they tapped the mercy seat. They sprinkled the blood over everything. And, of course, then you have to do that because the sins, you know, will cling, as you put it, into the midst of the, you know, the holy place itself and the tabernacle because of their uncleanness. Now you say, well, how can that happen? But see, this is how God sees it. This is how it is in the Lord when we talk about holiness. This is also when it talks about the shedding of innocent blood. When innocent blood gets shed, the uncleanness of that act and the violation of that act defiles the ground. And it will curse the ground as well. And so there's a lot of things here that in the law, just because Christ came, does not mean at all that these things have been done away with. No, because when you have blood shed in the land, it is going to be. Now, you may find peace. You may find things. But the blood, once it stains the land, it will always be stained until the reparation for that stain of that blood that was shed straightens it out. Now, of course, I've talked about this in my teaching on blood guilt, and it gets really difficult, really interesting when you start going through all this. But, you know, there's blood guiltiness involved here. And so this is the thoroughness. I mean, this illustrates the holiness of God. Verse 17, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make atonement in the holy place. Well, why? Because, you know, well, first of all, you'll probably die. Nobody was even supposed to get close to the mount either when Moses was up there. See, and as humans, we're sinners. You can't approach God. You can't approach the Lord. You can't look upon him. You're not going to be able to stand in his presence. Now, see, that's the way it was in what we call the Old Testament, in the time of this law. And the other Gentile nations were totally away from God. There was no hope at this time for them. But yet, in the land of Israel, if there was a foreigner or a Gentile, God had made allowances for them to partake of some of these things too, so they would be taken care of. Verse 17, and there shall, and we said that, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel, a sprinkling of the blood of the bullock and the he-goat. Upon the horns of the altar in the court, cleansing it and sanctifying it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, it was also meant to expiate the sins of the priests as well as that of the nation. This led up to the bringing in of the live goat. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and hollow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Whenever you see seven, that is a God number. That's the Lord's number. That's a fullness to completion of this act, to get it totally done. That means it was done, and it's perfect. And when he had made an end of the reconciling of the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring in the live goat. See, he has to expiate. He has to clean. He has to, here it says reconciling. See, before they started that, you had just this normal place, but then you had to sanctify it, get it ready, and then you had to turn around and perform, this thing where you could make an atonement. And the blood of both sacrifices was taken not merely into the holy place, but into the most holy and sprinkled directly upon the throne of God, revealing that only the atonement could take place before the throne of God. So there is, now when we talk about Yahshua dying on the cross and his blood shed, you can better believe it that blood, that was shed would have never fallen on the ground, and that it would have been taken and placed, in the presence of God, where this thing had to be done. And of course, in when we talk about the judicial part of this, see, Adam and Eve sinned, before God. Now their sin, was a direct disobeying of God's command itself. And so, the act took place with God involved. And now the act of redemption is bringing you back, has to be done the same way. It has to satisfy the holiness of God. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, and putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So, after the completion of the expiation and the cleansing of the holy things, Aaron then brought in this live goat. Bring it before the altar of the burnt offering, and placed both his hands upon its head, and confessed all the sins and transgressions of the children of Israel on it, and so put them upon its head. And he sent the goat away into the wilderness by a man who was standing by. He would make sure this goat went to the wilderness so that it would carry all of its sins into a land cut off. And there the man was to set the goat at liberty. And of course, today when we talk about forgiveness of sins, they're cast into the midst of the sea, never to be remembered against you anymore. And as Christians and believers, when we talk about forgiveness of sins, they are removed. And that's how we believe they're removed, that through Christ, and we have come to him, believed upon him, the act that he did and everything, the atoning act, that it met the judicial requirements of God. And because we believe God, God honors us the way he honored Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. We believe God and believe what Christ did on the cross, so it's imputed unto us for righteousness. It's imputed. It's given to us. That's God's mercy. He ends up accepting the sacrifice, and our account is clean, and we wind up being able to stand before God, a God that's going to work in our life, a God that sends His Spirit into you, a God that will live within you in your spirit man. But this wilderness, it illustrates a couple of things. That goat's going to go out there, and it ain't ever going to find its way back, or it's not supposed to. And that represents the desolation of sin. It also represents the judgment of sin. And, you know, you could even call it Sheol or hell out there. But it's a separation, a wilderness, a long ways away, you know, totally desolate. There's no life there. There's no sustenance. Way, way. That's the separation of sins. And this act really puts that into a picture for us, that when Christ separated us from our sins, when we believe. Now see, when he died on the cross, they took him down, they took him into the grave, or in you know, to the tomb, and, you know, he rose from the dead, and then 3 days later, well, 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he was seen alive then. But there really wasn't no discussion that we have in Scripture that the Lord finally said to the children of Israel, said to the apostles, that this is the judicial judgment for the sins of men, that they can all come. You know, he had to go to the cross. He had the choice to give his life and the choice to take it back. But a lot of this stuff, the children, you know, the apostles didn't really know all the details from the standpoint of the Father and his requirements. But what it did was it brought us back into fellowship with him. Now, that doesn't mean you have arrived, but that means that you're pretty close. You have to be faithful. You have to walk in relationship with him and seek his face. But see, there's that. You know, you can look at that wilderness. That's where man was anyway for a long time. Man was out there wandering around as that scapegoat with sins. Before Christ came, we had no hope. We were without hope. We were without everything. Clear out there in the middle of nowhere, we were living all over there. You know, the devil was having a heyday with humans because he could do anything he wanted. And, of course, the children of Israel had a mess. But see, today it's a different story. Christ came, he defeated the devil, that's it, end of story. But see, he didn't put the devil away. The devil is still around to tempt and to cause mischief, if he can, among the believers. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And so you have a place cut off, severed, like I was saying before, totally out there by itself, no roads. And the goat was not to find its way back. And both of these goats were a sin offering. The sins of the nation of Israel were confessed over it. The sins confessed over it were actually the sins which had been expiated by the other goat and the blood. And so you have two, you know. And of course, Paul talks about that in when we get into Romans. You get from Romans about chapter 3 through about chapter 8. You know, when we talk about these particular items of the expiation and the blood and the sins. there's confession made unto salvation. There is in 1 John 1, 7 through 9, you know, if we confess our sins. But see, the reason that you can confess your sins and ask the Lord to forgive you is because Christ had already made the sacrifice. Now see, we as Christians, as we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We have this relationship. As we walk in His light, as He is in the light, His blood will automatically cleanse us. But if we sin, we can confess those sins. And so confession is always in the midst of it. The blood expiation of the one goat was a covering, or a covering of the sin. The other goat, with the confessed sins upon its head, represented the carrying away or removal of the sin. And of course, this is what we talk about with Christ. And this is why there's a lot of people that find it hard that we as Christians simply believed on Yahshua and what He did on the cross, and all of a sudden our sins are gone. But it's more than us just saying it. You know it. You feel it. There is a peace in you. There's a supernatural presence in you. God says, "My sheep hear My voice." There are supernatural relationship here between you, who is living in this world that we live in, and the God that is supernatural. He can be in the natural, but He's also in the supernatural, the other natural that you don't live in yet. You're here. But yet your spirit knows about that. And so that is the battle that we face today. Now, Israel had also been brought into its sin by the Aziel, the head of the evil spirits, and today it is the devil. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, you have Aziel here, Azazel. And it's not just Israel. You know, the Bible says that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He looks to bring people into sin, to get them away from God, get them in trouble. And that's always been a tactic. Remember Balaam, that's the same kind of story, trying to get the children of Israel to sin because they didn't like them. They feared them. They wanted them, didn't want God to use them for something they didn't want. They did fear Israel. But Balaam got himself in a lot of trouble. And the children of Israel eventually got in a lot of trouble over all this. And today, as Christians, you know, I mean, you know, there is that relationship. There's that atonement that brings us in. That is, He is the Passover lamb, the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. But there's that, more than just having your sins taken away, there is that relationship now that enables you to live, to learn, to walk in the Spirit, and not do those things. And if you do the things that God don't like, you can confess them. And they'll be taken away. You don't have to send a goat into the wilderness. You don't have to die on the cross, because that's been done for you. And because you believe on the Lord, God has accepted that, and you are His son, and He's given you the power to become His son. That's John chapter 1. So all of this is really a good type for what you and I are doing today. By putting the sins back on the head of the scapegoat, Azazel, it meant the goat was taking back the sins. And I like this part, you know, because it really is, you know. I mean, when we look at the devil, you know, of course you can't blame everything on him. Because man himself has a propensity to sin. But the devil's there to help him. And this thing points out that Azazel was responsible for getting them into this trouble and the sins. And so this is putting the sins back into the camp of that chief sinner and liar himself. And that's represented by Azazel, the goat, that goes into the wilderness. So he carries his sins back with him. God removes all the sins. And if you think about it, see, the devil's been fighting this since he got Eve to eat of the fruit in the garden. And, you know, throughout all the time of Israel, he worked overtime to get Israel to sin. And today he's in the world. He's making, and we know Revelation 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, also Zechariah 14, many scriptures point at the fact of where we're heading with all this, the Antichrist, the end, you know, Armageddon, the whole nine works. Well, the devil is not done. And of course, it's one of these days, the devil that is fighting us today in the world, the devil that is still free with all of his minions, they're going to have all the sins thrown back on them, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that is the wilderness. They're not going to get out of that. And Azazel, who caused Israel to sin, was taking back his sins. The goat going into the wilderness is desolation in hell, taking the sins with him, for God had forgiven his people, and it was proof that the evil influences upon men would be of no avail. The Azazel influence had his own sins and rebellion back. The devil is the symbol here. And the sins of men cast away into the sea, cast upon the head of the devil, for God has forgiven men their sins through Christ. And that's why the devil, we find in Revelation, is going to make war against the saints. He knows he has but a short time, and God has forgiven man. Now see, this is the thing, and it's astounding. Now, as Christians, we understand it. As Christians, we may talk about it. But, you know, it's really the truth that there's no need for people to go to hell. There's no need for men and women to be at odds with their God. Except there's one problem. The Lord pointed it out in John chapter 3 that men and women, they're not going to come because they love their sins. They love darkness more than they love the light. And that is why we have sin and rebellion today. Simply put, men and women love their sins, love what they're doing more than they love God, who would forgive them if they would ask, who would bring them into his camp if they would only repent and come to him. But they won't do it. And by the time we get in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul warns us that the whole society is going to reject this love of the truth about Christ, the gospel, and the atonement. And then God is going to send them a delusion, which is the son of perdition. He's going to set himself up as God in the temple of God, and guess what? They're going to believe him. That is the lie, that they will believe. Isaiah talks about this, and you might have heard me say it before. But the Lord said, I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. And what this represents is, although Azazel was there causing them to do their sins, he wasn't, you know, the devil. Now see, this is the thing. God said that he would not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. He's speaking, now this is to Christians. But will with that temptation make a way to escape so you can bear it. In James, we see him talking about, you know, your faith tried by fire. And so there's a purpose in a lot of the trials and things that we all face. But the truth of it is that man was born with the seed of sin. And he has that propensity to go to the dark side, using a phrase from Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars is a classical modern take on the devil and God thing, along with Jesus Christ. And of course, you have the Holy Spirit being portrayed by the Force. And, of course, Darth Vader's the devil. And, of course... you could call him actually the Antichrist, and you could call his boss the devil, and you could call, that's really what you can do with Star Wars, I mean, because that's what it was, where they picked that out of. But see, putting all the sins back on the devil here is really, you know, you're going to have them back. You cause them to do it, and that's true. But yet there is that little point in here that Christ pointed out, that while the devil causes men to do these things, it's like men already want to do some of them. He just makes it easier. In the point in John 3 is that it's not the devil. Nowhere in John 3 is the devil mentioned. Where this is being talked about, it has to do with one thing. Men and women love darkness more than light. They're not going to come to the light to be saved. And that's what we see in the world today. That's what we've always seen in men. God gives men a choice, and in their heart, as you know, what do you love the most? Now, it comes down to a point. You got to get to the point where you are fed up with sin, sick with sin, and you're not going to allow it to infect you and your family. And you got to fight it. You got to get away from it. And sin is a killer. Sin will destroy you, Christian. And see, what has happened in the churches today is we've forgotten that sin is evil. And in fact, many churches have embraced abominable practices and sins, have brought them into their church, and are telling their congregation to do these things is okay, when in fact it will send these people straight to hell. And they're not going to listen because they're deluded. They love darkness more than they love light, and they are the whore church. They are the tares among the wheat. This is what we see in America. And I'm telling you that when you get into these churches, you'd better be very sure what you're getting into. Because you got people in this country in major denominations that don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand a thing about what they're saying. And they are there to delude and to deceive and build their own little kingdom. And you are there. Now, you better pay attention. And so, and that's why it's important for you to know the things in what we call the Old Testament or the Torah. It's important. Now, verse 23. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterward shall come into the camp. Now see, where's the sin at? It's outside the camp. He let the scapegoat go, which has the sins. And just by touching or being around the scapegoat, he has gotten this infection of sin, this thing. And what we see is the purity. This illustrates the holiness of God and the sinfulness of sin. This shows you that, number one, the camp is where the children of Israel, everybody else was. And there was many things outside the camp. See, you want to be in the camp. In the camp is heaven. In the camp is Zion. In the camp is where the Lord is. Outside the camp is sin. Outside the camp is hell. Outside the camp is the devil and his angels. Inside the camp is blessing and glory and salvation and redemption. Outside the camp is uncleanness. Inside the camp is cleanness. See, this is the difference. And even Aaron, the priest, let's talk about the priest. When they go out and handle all these things, it's, you know, have you ever seen these movies or some of the news show? Recently there was a show called Out of the Darkness, a Samaritan's Purse thing about some major plagues that hit Africa, and they were on the front lines. And they show how they fought it and how many people died. It was a gut-wrenching movie to watch. But everybody was dressed to the hilt, protected. Everything was protected and washed down. They would go into the area, take care of the people, and they had to disinfect themselves, clean and wash all the time, going back and forth. Now, see, this illustrates you put sin in there, and you put the Old Testament in there, you put the camp in there, you put the tabernacle. He was to take off all those garments. He was to wash himself and then go out and offer the burnt offering. The person that let the scapegoat go, he didn't do nothing wrong, but he had a job to do, and now because he's infected, what does he do? He has to come back and bathe. And of course, this, and more than, it wouldn't have sent him to hell unless he would have, if you had to do that. That was the law. And the purpose of the law was to teach them, sin, teach them uncleanness. Folks, I know I'm talking about this, and it may seem like a lot. But see, frankly, America needs to hear this. We don't know what uncleanness is. You didn't hear that. Every week, I go through lots of articles. I see pictures. And America is filthy, and it has a lot of pride. Now, I'm an American, been that way all my life. My family goes way back. I don't like what I see in America, but I'm not a watchman for America. I'm a watchman for the Lord. America is going to be destroyed. It is going to go into judgment one day. God, if there is any kind of reprieve from immediate judgment, it's because God is dealing with his people. God wants to prepare his people for what is coming. Now you see here, as we look at this, the uncleanness factor. There's a lot of these young women, movie stars and things, that are proud. They're making millions. And they think they can do anything, and they're at the top of the world, and they make all kind of obscene gestures. But see, one of these days, them women are going to stand before God because they've missed their calling. There's a lot of women today that are Jezebels, and there's a lot of men who are Ahabs. And there's a lot of churches full of pastors that don't know what truth is. And see, this is the uncleanness. And just by, Jude deals with this. He says, despising even the spotting of the flesh. And that's what this guy with his goat, he was taught to despise this. It's unclean. You come and you wash so you can come in the camp. But see, we haven't taught our children that. We didn't tell them what is unclean. In our schools, we teach them filth. And we tell them filth is okay. So they grow up thinking filth is okay, and it's not okay. And one day, they're going to stand before God, and they're going to say quite truthfully, as far as they think, but it's okay. That's what they taught me, and they were adults. They know what the truth is. No, they don't, my son or my daughter. They don't know the truth. They don't know the truth. They're teaching what they believe. And many of them teach it out of spite. And see, they corrupt the young minds and destroy them. And America has not taught its people, because one of the main reasons is most of America one time was just pure Gentiles. But see, we could say, well, look at the Jews. They sinned too. They did sin too. And see, that's the other problem you have. Even a Jew has a choice who to serve. And the Jews don't have any monopoly on God anymore, even though many of them think they do. Because we're going to be all before him through Christ. That's the new covenant. See, that's what it is. That's what the law has become. Now, the old law has never been destroyed. It's there to show you what is clean and unclean, and to know you what is sin. But see, to know and understand what uncleanness and cleanness is, we don't know. Paul talks about the lust of the flesh and the, you know, walking in the flesh, walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit is clean. Walking in the deeds of the flesh are unclean. God gave you of his spirit, redeemed you, and atoned for you by the act of his son, so that you would have power to live above the stains and sin of the world, so that you would be unto him a peculiar people, a righteous following. 27, and the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp again. Now you notice here, he doesn't come into the camp until he washes. He has to wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in water. Now, this teaches you what clean and unclean is. Now, see, that sin, all those items were part of the thing that was sin. The bullock for the sin offering, the goat for the sin offering, it's all sin. It has to be destroyed. This illustrates, number one, the eternal flame of fire that God is going to cast all sin into. Death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is an eternal hot place that purifies everything. Nothing can survive its flame. And of course, that sin will be destroyed in there, and those that sin will be destroyed. Everything that is sin will be destroyed. Now, why do you think the Bible says heaven and earth, there will be a new heaven and earth? Well, because it is full of sin. Isaiah 24 says that the curse has devoured the earth. The curse is the sin as a result of the sin. So in the world today, now, you know, Jerusalem, it's known in Revelation as Sodom and Egypt. Jerusalem is not clean. Although, you know, they think it is. There is blood stained on the land still. And even if you build a third temple, it's not going to be clean for the Messiah till he cleans it. And he, when he comes, he will clean it. It'll be by judgment. It will be done by judgment and flame and fire. See, this is why God is pure. He is holy. And see, when you don't realize, that's why Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Our God is a consuming fire, a purifying fire. You can't stand before him. That's why it's so important. And see, when you read Leviticus, when you get into this and you see all the things they do in the thing, it's all to show you the holiness and here, you know, the separation. There must be a separation all the time. And this shall be a statue forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls, do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Now, afflict your souls as fasting, do no work at all. And I can tell you, people, on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Now that's what the Lord has already done on the cross. That's why when we look to Passover, he is the Passover lamb. He was the Passover lamb. He is the conquering king. He has already made atonement. It's already been done. But see, he fulfilled this part, Yom Kippur. You can thank God for that if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you can become one. You know, John 1 just says, he went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 3 said, you must be born again by the Spirit. And you get into Romans 3 through about 8 or so, and it talks about confession is made unto salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now see, if you seek him and look to him, he will reveal himself to you. But you have to believe upon the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Believe in his work upon the cross and what he did, the atonement, the atoning sacrifice. And when we talk about Yom Kippur, when we talk about even tabernacles, and I went into detail in tabernacles even more about some of this stuff, because tabernacles represents when he comes again and he's ruling and reigning. But see, this Yom Kippur, this act here, talks about the separation. See, when we fell, that separation created a gulf. We could not reach God. Matter of fact, Adam and Eve were banned from the garden again. And they put an angel there with a flaming sword to keep them out. But I believe as soon as Adam and Eve got out there, they forgot how to get back. They couldn't have got back if they wanted to. And I believe that it's still here on earth, but it's hidden. I believe that same garden is around. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you and cleanse you. And that's what Christ has already done. And so on this day, you know, we do fast. And we do honor this. And it's really a time of thanking God. It's also the end of the high holy days, as we've been talking. And that's a time of, you know, soul searching. Perfecting your faith. Looking at, well, what have I missed? What have I done? What do I need to do to be better before God? Do I have anything ought against anybody? Do they have anything against me? And of course, in this world, there's always somebody that can easily be hacked off at you that you don't know. And there's some people, they just walk around hacked off anyway. But those 10 days, that's what that's for, culminating on this day here. And of course, for the Jews, it's the holiest day of the year that they spend seeking the Lord. Get their name in the book. Our name has been put there by Christ. But this is a race. And it shall be a Sabbath rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office, in his father's stead shall make up the atonement and put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make an atonement for the tabernacle, the congregation, for the altar. Make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now Christ did it once and for all. Now see, Hebrews talks about this. And so it's very, very important. See, you and I can go to the name of the Father, go to the Father in the name of Yahshua, Jesus, find forgiveness of sins. Israel couldn't do this. Today they can, but they couldn't then. They had to follow the law to the letter. And if you did anything wrong, just like Aaron's son, you died. Christ hadn't come yet. It was that way. And so Yom Kippur became a national day of cleansing, repentance. I can tell you, if America, you know, if there was ever a nation that really needed it, I mean, there's a lot of evil nations. Don't get me wrong. When I say that America's filthy, and there's a lot, we are filthy at a lot of things. But do I think they're the filthiest nation on earth? No, not by any stretch. But see, the reason I talk about this is because this is my land. This is my country. These are my people. And I may not be a watchman for America. I'm a watchman for the Lord. But that doesn't stop me from looking at this country and say, you know, we need to stop doing that. But see, they're not going to listen, okay? People are going to do what people want to do. See, Jeremiah had the same problem with Israel. He tried to warn them. He didn't want the judgment to come. But he knew they wouldn't listen. The Lord had told him, they're going to fight against you, Jeremiah, but I'm going to make you strong. Finally, Jeremiah, after a lot of years, got tired of it and said, I'm not going to speak anymore of this. I'm not going to say it. I'm done. Well, the Lord wasn't done. And Jeremiah finally said, I had to start talking because my bosom within me, my breast, burned with the word of God. I couldn't hold it in. And God told him he needed to repent. But see, Jeremiah didn't like it. I don't like it. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is, my friends. Well, so we are not quite done with this. Not by a long shot. Maybe I can get through it in another while or so. But we're going to have to say goodnight. And we'll do this again next week. And
that sounds good.
I'm trying to look. I think we can, because there's a lot more scriptures. But if I can keep from preaching, I think we might be able to get through it.
Oh, that's funny.
So let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for your word. Bless those that hear this. Lord God, move in their hearts. Feed them, Lord. Give them understanding. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness for the preaching, teaching, streaming of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay.
Amen. Yeah, bless God. This is very interesting, and it's too bad we can't continue on tonight.
No, we got to cut her down. We're going to say goodnight.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Thursday night, October 5th, for Battle Lines.
Yep, we'll see you then. Good night. Good night. This is Sound the Show. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.